Hello and welcome. In this edition of the show, we're chatting with Rob Quester. And if you stay listening, you'll find out how Rob learnt a very sobering lesson that almost cost him everything. He also tells us how setbacks can actually be a good thing in business and why he thinks writing a book really can make a difference to your life. Rob Quester, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Great to speak with you, Rob. Now, I have to say, your CV is incredibly impressive. So I wanted to start by asking, how did you start in marketing?
Back in 1997, I caught the coaching bug when coaching was, you know, was an industry that hadn't even just started. And I attended an NLP, a neuro-linguistic programming course. And at the time, I was working for one of the big consulting firms in London. And I thought this would be a great thing. We should be building coaching into what we do. And of course, nobody agreed with me. And a few years later, I decided this is it. Coaching is the way ahead. I'm going to set out on my own. And with that impressive CV that you mentioned just then, of course, the world would be my oyster and everybody would be beating a path to my door. So in 2002, I walked out of what at the time was a $140,000 a year job, not realizing that I had just become a $14,000 a year coach. Because predictably, nobody knew who I was and nobody wanted to hire me. So that was how I got started. By making the mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make, which is not thinking about what my market was going to be or what I was going to be offering, and just taking a great idea that I thought the world needed and deciding that I was going to go out and offer it. And it took me a few years to figure out that I'd made that mistake, literally until about 2005. So 3 years of earning very small amounts. And the only reason that I can say it was a $14,000 a year was because in the first year, I actually made about three times that. And then in the following 2 years, I made virtually nothing. So it wasn't until 2005 that I got what I always call my lost days. That I'd got to the beginning of 2005, and I realized I've got no clients, I've got no money, and I was very rapidly heading towards bankruptcy. And I spent 2 days being mad at the world, being mad at my prospective clients for not hiring me, being mad at myself for being so stupid. And at the end of those 2 days, I sat down and I did something that I should have done in the very first place, which was I actually sat down and started setting some goals. And the first goal I set myself was that by the end of the year, I'd be making 100,000 sterling, which at the time was about $160,000 US. I made it by the end of 2005 to something like 96,000. So I fell 4,000 short of my goal, but I let myself off the extra 4,000. I kind of guessed I'd got close to the intent, but I'd managed to turn it around in that year.
Sounds like you learned a really sobering lesson as well off the back of that. That's quite a story in terms of, you know, as you say, sometimes it's the false security, isn't it? You're in a job, you're being paid, and you think, if I leave, I'll take all these clients with me. But of course, it doesn't always work like that.
No, it really doesn't work like that a lot of the time. And, you know, they always say, if you want to make God laugh, show him your business plan. Well, I hadn't even got to the point of having a business plan. It was literally just I decided one day that I'd had enough and that I was going to go and set the world on fire. And instead of doing it the sensible way by kind of tapering in and doing some work on the side and building up the business, in my own time, I went cold turkey. I literally walked into my boss's office and said, hey, I quit. And yes, as you say, it was a sobering lesson.
And I was going to say, you know, in terms of once you'd done that and you know, you'd gone through that process yourself, I guess that also gave you like an insight, if you like, into how not to do it. So if you talk to other people, if you train other people, this is like, don't follow this advice. Do the complete opposite.
Well, exactly. Because I got to 2005 and I'd had 3 years of basically treading water. And it was only in 2005 that I thought, well, I don't have a client base. And so I need to find a way of building clients very quickly. And quite by chance, I started doing joint ventures. And that was literally what saved the business and saved me, was finding, I mean, the first joint venture I tried wasn't as successful. And I can remember I'd arranged it wasn't even a webinar, it was a teleconference with a competitor / peer / JV partner in North America. And I remember dialing in from a hotel in Newcastle. And it was dialing in hotels on an international line was ridiculously expensive. And so we were on the line for however long, for an hour or whatever, doing this teleconference. And of course, at that point, I still hadn't learned my lesson. So we got to the end of the webinar and I suddenly realized I hadn't really thought about the call to action. And so I very quickly kind of came up with a call to action. And that joint venture netted me something like $100, which didn't even cover the cost of the phone call. So I went back to the drawing board, set up another joint venture with a joint venture partner that was a better match for me and for my skill set, which was personal branding. It was which is ironic. And that joint venture got me up to a few thousand, and then at the end of that year I did what literally got me to the 100,000 mark was that during that year I found a partner that was perfectly aligned, and I had the right offer for their audience, and they were desperately in need of what I was offering. And by the end of that year, that had turned into almost a six figure in sterling business partner, and it was around 160,000 of business in US dollars. But it was finding that, you know, just finding that one partnership, which is something that I say to people now, is, you know, if you can find the right partners and the right alliances to make, that can be the difference between having a very expensive hobby or having a viable and valid and successful business.
It's really true. And I guess the, you know, the really interesting part in this is it's almost like you went from, as you say, you quit a well-paid job, relatively well-paid job. So it was riches to rags, and then almost back to riches again from the joint ventures that you started to develop in that time. Can we just put like a time frame on this, Rob? So you mentioned that you quit your job in the early 2000s, and then how long was it before, you know, you say 3 years before you realized that you had a, like almost like a failing business? And then off the back of that, how quickly was it before you started to turn the corner and see that actually this now is moving in the right direction?
That was literally a 12-month shift. At the start of January 2005, I thought, this is it. Everything is everything has failed. I'm going to have to go back and get a job, and I'm going to have to eat humble pie maybe to my old employer and things. But literally by the end of that year, that big joint venture had delivered, the big payoff.
That was the turnaround year, I guess.
That was the turnaround, yeah.
And then in the last 15 years, I mean, things have really gone from great to stratospheric, I guess, in terms of what you've achieved. I know we talked about, the books that you've written so far, and also that you've moved into more of the personal branding side of things. Can you just walk me through the process of that, Rob? What made you want to, first of all, then, turn what you were doing into the books, first of all?
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that 2005 transformation. By the end of 2008, I'd then built a very successful one-man business. So I was traveling all over the world. I was working with big corporations. I was coaching senior partners in big professional services firms. And you probably remember 2008 is memorable for one big thing, which is that in October 2008, the world collapsed. So October 2008, I was literally packing to jump on a plane to New York to go and coach one of my clients. And I get a phone call saying, hey, you're supposed to be with us next week, but we've decided we're not going to go ahead. The market has collapsed, so don't bother getting on the plane. And that was the start of having gone riches to rags to riches. Literally 2008, I was facing going back to rags again. But this time it didn't take me 3.5 years to figure out what I was doing wrong. And so I very quickly started to get things moving again, to turn it around. Again, going with, initially my first gut reaction was joint ventures is what's kept me going. Joint ventures will help me. And they did. The other thing I did, which I hadn't done before at that point, was I joined a mastermind group. I suddenly realized, hey, I need other smart people around me. And that was the point at which I joined my first mastermind group, which some people would think was insane when all your clients are disappearing, to go and spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 being in a room with other people. Might seem ridiculous, but I needed to be around people whose businesses were successful and learn from them. And so that was the point at which I discovered the power of masterminding. That was, it very quickly turned around again. And so end of 2008, the business was facing collapse. By the end of 2009, I'd got it back up to 200,000 and beyond. And then around 2010, I started to get people who hadn't recovered from the crash saying, how did you do that? Can you teach me? And that was how I went from running a business to then being asked to teach people how to grow their business for themselves. And I ended up building a business that in some respects I didn't much enjoy, because I ended up running a business where I was managing outsourcers. I'd built a business where we would build the marketing platform for our clients. We would help them to build their website. We would help them to create their products. We would help them to write their book. We didn't help them to write their book, and that was the mistake I made, was we told them that they needed a book as part of their marketing platform, but we were literally just saying, you need to write a book. Here's some hints and some guidelines, and by the end of the year, hopefully you'll have done it. And so I was running a bunch of website developers, and I was running a bunch of email copywriters and things like that. And I realized when, after a few years, that that wasn't the business, that wasn't what I liked my role to be. I am not a project manager by nature. I'm a strategist. I'm a thinker. And I love being out and delivering. And I love going out and presenting. And I love writing. But I do not like checking boxes off on a Excel spreadsheet and looking at project plans and things. And so in 2014, when we moved to Canada, I took the opportunity and I thought, well, if I don't like the business that I'm running, what business do I want to be running? And I thought the very first thing that we tell our clients to do is that they need a book. And there's a big difference between the clients that we had who had written a book and the ones who hadn't. And the ones who had written a book were going great guns, and they were very successful, and they were getting clients, and they were making money. And the ones who hadn't written their book didn't have that level of success. And so I thought, right, I like writing. I know the value of a book as a marketing tool, and I know how to build marketing campaigns around a book. And so we got rid of everything and focused on the book, and I built a team of writers and graphic designers, because I thought, right, if the problem is that if I just tell people to write a book, some of them do and some of them don't, let's take that away and let's just write the book for them. And so that became Bright Flame Books, the company that I run now. It was born out of the realization that if you just tell someone, hey, a book is really useful in marketing, you need to write one, the chances are that you'll see them again 2 years down the line and they still won't have written it. Whereas if we took all of that hassle away, and then we could say to them, right, let's write the book, and now let's build the marketing campaigns around that book, then they at least had a fighting chance of being successful with it.
It's really interesting. And also, I think one of the key takeaways that from what you've just been talking about, Rob, is that sometimes the trajectory of your business can be like that proverbial roller coaster. It can go up, it can go down, it can come back up again, it can go back down again. I think a lot of people believe that, as you set off in business, that it should all be rainbows and butterflies and everything should go, you know, swimmingly well, and that line of growth should just continue up, that steep line going up. But it doesn't always work out like that. And it's great to hear that not only have you overcome those setbacks, but also it's almost driven you in a way to almost reevaluate yourself and where you are at that time. And instead of just giving up, you've actually gone, no, this is an opportunity for me to reevaluate and work out where have things gone wrong and what do I need to do now? How can I invest in myself and in my business to be able to you know, to get back on the right track? So yeah, that's really interesting to read. Now, you mentioned that you have your publishing company, Bright Flame Books. Could you just maybe talk to me a little bit more about that and the process that you take people through in order to create their own book?
Sure. The big problem most professionals have got, and let's make one thing clear about books. A lot of people think books only work for consultants and accountants and lawyers and people who are selling their knowledge. Books actually work in virtually in any industry. I'll take the word virtually out. They work in any industry. I've even seen a company that does basement remodeling using a book in their marketing campaigns. And the reason is because most professionals, most businesses struggle with a number of things. First of all, they struggle to stand out from thousands of competitors who are offering the same basic product or service. They struggle to explain exactly what they're going to do for their customer, and they struggle to justify their fees. And I very quickly discovered that a book was a great way of achieving all of those three things before you even walk in the room. When I do presentations, I always tell the story of what I call the world's shortest sales meeting, which is where I'd had a call from a prospective client. They'd read one of my books on that they'd picked up on Amazon, and they said, you know, come in and talk to us, and we'll see whether we're a good match. So I drove up to London, and I walked into the boardroom expecting to meet just the person who'd called me, and instead I found their entire board of directors, and every one of them had a copy of the book in front of them. The CEO had actually bought a copy for each of them and made them read it. And as we started the sales meeting, he said, we want you to turn us into the natural expert in our industry. And the natural expert is a term that I'd created and introduced in that book. And so at that point, I knew a couple of things. First of all, there's only one person in the world who could make them the natural expert, because I'd literally written the book about it. And so they couldn't call anybody else and say, can you make us the natural expert in our industry? Because whoever they called would go, what's that? Secondly, if they've gone to the trouble of making everybody else in the room read my book, one, all of their objections have already been handled. Two, they already know what I'm going to talk about. And three, this wasn't a sales meeting. It was effectively a kickoff meeting for the assignment. We just hadn't agreed a fee yet. And that's exactly how it worked out. It was never a case of, you know, I'll put together a proposal and let us know, and then we'll talk, go away, and we're talking to various other people. It was a kickoff meeting. We were already planning the stages, and then at the end of it, they said, could you just send us a note with your fee? So that's a very long-winded way to say books work in any industry. And so the mistake a lot of professionals make when they start to write a book for their marketing is they don't think about how it's going to fit into their business. A book is a great idea, but we don't approach it as, oh, everybody should have a book. We approach it as everybody should have a really successful marketing campaign, and let's build that campaign around a book that positions you at the top of your industry, that explains what you're going to do for your customers and explains why your fees are as high as they are, and handles all of their objections before you've even walked in the room. And so that the first step of our process is planning all of that out. It's, you know, what is it that we want the customer to do after they've read the book? How are they going to get the book in the first place? Are we going to be giving it away on a website? Are we going to be sending it to our prospects? Are we going to be selling it on Amazon? How are they going to get it? What are they going to do? And if that's what we want them to do, what do we need to put in the book in order to make them do that? What's the content that will make them want to take that obvious action? And then we can build the book around it. And then so at that point, we hand off to a ghostwriter whose job is to get all of the stuff out of their head and onto paper. And typically we end up creating a few hundred questions that become an interview guide. And I'll backtrack a little bit. The whole process was born out of the realization that most people will struggle to write about what they do, but they can talk for hours about what they do, because that's what they do all day long. They talk to prospective clients, they talk to suppliers, they talk to their business partners, they talk to their team. So they know how to talk about what they do. And so we use an interview-based process where we get people to talk to us. The writer's job is to turn that conversation into a book. And I'd like to think we do it very successfully, given that we've had books that have been that have won awards in book competitions. We've had books that have been featured in book review magazines that would not normally be considered, because they are they're not from a major publishing house. There's a company called Kirkus that has a magazine that reviews books from major publishers. You can't get into it normally unless you're from a major publisher, and one of our clients managed to get that book in there. So we aim to do a to create a book that would look good if it were on the bookshelves of a normal bookstore. And we aim to write one that would be worthy of a major publisher for our clients. So it's not just we're not aiming to do the 20-page extended sales letter type of books. You know, we're creating 150, 200, 300-page books that are about positioning and effectively, I call them a sales meeting in a box. Typically, 120 to 160 pages is just right. It's short enough that people will read it, and long enough that it actually gives an idea of the person's level of authority and knowledge. So we create it by interview, and then we give it to book designers who make it look like a professionally published book. And then the capstone of everything is that we do a bestseller launch. We engineer a lot of activity to make sure that the book becomes a bestseller, which then creates a lot of buzz in the market. And we've had clients have parties in their office and invite everybody around, and it's a great excuse to get all of your best prospects into the room. And a lot of sales conversations start in that room. We've had other clients who've run book signing parties at bookstores or in retail stores that would be a good joint venture partner for them, and so on. But the key to it all is that everything is built into a marketing campaign. We're not just writing a book for the sake of it. It's let's design a campaign, and now let's write the book that will make that campaign work.
So it's fascinating in terms of, you know, the process that you go through. And I guess one of the key things here is that this isn't just a way of opening the door. It's almost like it's a way of kicking the door open for most people. Mm. And that's really important these days.
Yeah, I was going to say, we actually had a client. In fact, it's that client with the world's shortest sales meeting. When we actually did their book, they worked with big wanted to work with big hotel chains. They were working with a lot of independent hotels, but they couldn't get through the door with some of the big hotel chains. And that one in particular, they'd been trying to get a meeting with for something like 3 years, and they just, you know, that they wouldn't return their calls. They wouldn't return their emails. They wouldn't return their letters. Nothing. There was nothing coming out of them. And so we wrote the book, started this campaign, started an outrageous multi-step marketing campaign that involved lots of 3D mail. And so we had a number of steps. There were 3D mail. There were phone calls. There were a series of follow-up letters and postcards. But it all started off with the book. And about a week after the book went out, and just as they were getting ready to start the follow-up calls, an email came back from that company saying, hey, I've read your book. We need to talk. So 3 years of doorstepping them, emailing, phone calls, letters, nothing. We send them a book, and within a week, they're coming back and saying, we need to talk. And one of the other hotel chains that they'd spoken to, they actually got an email back from somebody saying, from one of the gatekeepers saying, oh, hi, we've got your book. You actually sent it to the wrong person. I've forwarded it to so-and-so, who is the assistant to our operations director, whose name is this. They'll be calling you in the next few days to set up a meeting. And I always say to people, you know, when was the last time that a gatekeeper called you up or emailed to say, hey, you sent your sales brochure to the wrong person, but it's okay, I've forwarded it to the person who should have had it. Sales brochures and sales letters end up in the trash a lot of the time, particularly with gatekeepers, and yet the book actually had this person going out of their way to make sure it got to the right person.
We've all heard the phrase that a book is the ultimate business card, I guess, but this takes it one stage further than that, I guess.
As you say, it is a door knocker downer. It's a battering ram.
Well,
nothing else will work.
Well, your new book, Rob, is co-written with a previous guest of this show, Bill Glazer. You alluded to the title just a few moments ago, The Outrageous Marketing, Multi-Step Marketing Campaigns, Volume 2, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that as well and how you ended up working with Bill on that that project?
Yeah, I was referred to Bill Glazer by a good friend and a very well-known marketer called Mike Koenigs. And Bill has known Mike for many years. And when after Bill had a stroke about 4 years ago now, he took it easy for a while. And then he decided, Bill being Bill, decided after a while that he wanted to write a book. So he contacted Mike Koenigs and said, "Hey, I want to write a book. I need somebody to help me write it. Who do you suggest?" And Mike said, "Talk to Rob Questa." So I get a text from Mike saying, "Do you know who Bill Glazer is?" And I said, "Yes, of course I do." He is the G of GKIC. And he said, "Would you like to work with him?" And I edited down my response to something that was publishable, but effectively was, "Yes, of course I would." And so we arranged a call, and Bill and I hit it off immediately. And now is our fourth year working together. So I helped him write the first volume of Outrageous Campaigns. That turned into a live event. And then at the end of a live event, he said, "No more live events, no more books." And then within a few weeks, he said, "Let's do another book." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Let's do it. Let's run a virtual summit." I said, "So we'll interview the people who are going to be featured in the book, turn that into a virtual summit, which will be a product, and then we can take that virtual summit and also turn it into the book." And so that became the second volume. In the first book, we had 49 campaigns. In the second one, we've got 42 campaigns from people like Ryan Dice. We've got Yannick Silva. We've got Nick James in there. We've got Marisa Murgatroyd. We've got 42 marketers, some very well known, some less well known, but that doesn't mean they're any less successful. It just means that their market isn't other internet marketers. And so in the internet marketing industry, they're not so well known. But if you go into the fitness industry, you'll hear their names. Or if you go into the into the speaking industry, you'll hear their names and so on. And so that virtual summit became the second book, and now we're turning it into another live event. And so, yeah, 4 years working together, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's been an outrageous fun, you could say, and still going strong. And we're already talking about a third book, but that probably shouldn't go into the article.
Do you know, as somebody that was part of that virtual summit, I actually attended the virtual summit. I remember just thinking the amount of information and the amount of brain power that's being presented here is just incredible. So, you know, all kudos to you and Bill for putting that together. Bill spoke very warmly about you on the show previously and how much he enjoys working with you, which is why I'm so delighted that, you know, you agreed to come on the show as well, Rob. I guess one of the burning questions I have for you is, after everything that you've been through and everything that you're doing right now, what is the one thing you would say you're the most proud of?
The most proud. One thing is still being in business 18 years in because you know, we hear all kinds of statistics about you know how many businesses collapse in their first year and how many then make it through the 5 years and collapse. But I've been in business now for 18 years, and despite that roller coaster, as you said, I've never let it get in the way. The world has thrown at me, I have always thought to myself, this is what I want to be doing. And so I can either give up on what I want to do, or I can keep going. And giving up isn't an option. And so that is one of the things I'm most proud of. The other is the books. Outrageous Marketing Campaigns Volume 2 is a fantastic book. So is the so was the first volume of Outrageous Campaigns. I remember the first time I published, or the time I published my first big book. You know, so I'd written a number of smaller books around the 30, 40, 50 pages. And then I wrote Premium back in 2010, I think. 2011, in fact, it was published, which was my first full-size book. And I just, even now, I will look through these books, and it's almost like somebody else wrote them. I look at them and I still find stuff that even I've forgotten. They have pride of place on my bookshelf all the time because I'm incredibly proud of the books that I've created and the team that I've built around me to help me and my clients with their books.
Yeah, I mean, it's having a book is an amazing legacy as well, isn't it? Because of course it's something that you can hand down as well to future generations, yeah, as well, to say here's where I was and this is what was in my mind at the time, and yeah, here it is for you now to take forward. I mean, to have a book is an incredible achievement in itself, but to have as many as you've got, Rob, is taking it to the extreme. Wow. So what's next for you? I mean, obviously you've achieved so much so far, but what's next for you?
So we've got the live event coming up very soon with Bill, as I mentioned. That's in March. That's the other thing I forgot. On the back of the book, the virtual summit and the book, we then launched a membership program with Mara, Bill's daughter, Bill and myself. And so Mara is part of the team for the live event as well. So we've got that live event coming up. We're also launching a mastermind program. As I said, I'm a big believer in the power of masterminds, and there's one thing I've noticed ever since joining that first mastermind is the years in which I've been a part of a mastermind program have always been my most successful. And you know, a couple of years ago, I didn't join one because it went just after we'd moved to Canada. When I first moved over, I hadn't got a mastermind here in Canada, and I very quickly realized I needed to be in another one. So I'm a big believer in the power of mastermind. So we're launching a mastermind in the spring as well. And then on the book side of things, one of the things that I realized was that there are people who want a book, but can't necessarily afford to have a book written for them one-on-one the way that we do. And so we'll be launching a group program that's basically a book retreat where you come in and we lock you in the room until you have written your book. Because if we send you away, I know that the chances of you actually finishing it are slim. And so we're just going to lock you in a room and teach you how to write a book and not let you out until you've written it, or at least at the end of the week.
And you will give people food and water at that time as well, won't you, Rob?
No, that's part of the encouragement to finish the book, is you don't eat until the book is finished. There will be food and water and maybe even some sleep as well.
I'm pleased to hear it. Now, Robert, I mean, it's been great chatting with you. Thank you again for being so generous with your time. How can we find out more about you and your services and what you offer?
Well, the first place to go is Outrageous Marketers Live, to find out about that live event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bill and Mara and I, and we also have a guest speaker, Ed Rush. We're all going to be dressed up as pirates. And you'll understand the reason for the pirate theme if you attend. But it's a great opportunity to be in the room with hundreds of potential customers, potential suppliers, potential joint venture partners, and just to find out about outrageous marketing and how to make your marketing fun and successful at the same time. So that's the first place to go, is outrageousmarketerslive.com. And to find out about the books, then it's brightflamebooks.com, which is a nice simple URL as well.
That sounds great. Well, Rob Quester, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and good luck with all your future ventures as well.
Thank you for taking time to interview me.